I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Hardcore Listing, the podcast.
Hello. Just before we get on with today's episode, Chris and I want to tell you all about our Patreon page. It won't take long, but we think you're going to want to hear it.
Because you're missing out, quite frankly.
Massively.
All the more risque stuff that we sometimes think, oh, can we get away with that? We put it on our Patreon pages. And there's over 150 episodes for our $10 subscribers.
Absolutely. So for whatever that works out in UK pounds, what's that, about £7.50 a month?
Yeah, for the price of a bag of chips, for a Savoy and chips, you can actually have us in your ears four times extra a month.
That's four episodes minimum that we put out exclusively for Patreons. Plus, there's loads of... We video most of our episodes now, and the videos, you can watch all of the podcasts now over on Patreon as well. We put up loads of other unique content over there,
yeah, don't we? Yeah, there's pictures there. It's basically our version of our OnlyFans account, isn't it, basically? So you
exactly.
Get the sort of pictures on there of the behind-the-scenes of Stu tucking into a pot noodle, basically. Sort of stuff that shouldn't be available to the public.
No one needs to see that. But that's all. We just thought we'd give you a quick heads up that if you're enjoying these podcasts, then be aware for like £7.50, you can go and listen to over 150 exclusive episodes. And there's some great ones over there with previous guests as well. Loads of names that you're going to recognise if you've been listening to the weekly podcast we put out.
And yeah, and also, if you are a subscriber, we're more than likely to do one of your top fives if you recommend it, because we prioritise the patrons first, don't we, as well?
Absolutely, yeah. So we try and sort of do as many top fives suggested by you lot as well. So, yeah, head over to Patreon. Where can they find out about it, Chris?
Patreon.com/hardcore listing. Easy peasy. And you can watch an intro video there as well of us in jacuzzis and doing sexy stuff.
With Gal Porter.
Not doing sexy stuff with Gal Porter. Can I just clear that up? Gal, I'm not trying to drag your name through the mud.
And Scroobius Pip.
Yeah.
All right. patreon.com/hardcore listing.
Enjoy the episode.
Hello and welcome to Hardcore Listing Podcast. We've hit a million downloads. 1 million downloads. Chris Glasson, what are you saying?
I'm saying we've dropped the everyone's dumber for listening to our podcast now. So we've achieved the goal. We've brought people more down to our level. Pip is desperately firing out content of note and worth that might help people. And we're desperately just trying to pull the Distraction Pieces Network down to our level and below. We're trying to exceed that. So, yeah.
Well, we should, first of all, before we do anything, some of the people that have helped us get to a million downloads is our producer, 76. So thanks loads to Stu for doing that. And
yeah,
and we've got
hugely.
Two sponsors that have been with us a long time now and can't thank them enough. And so that is, I'm going to be nice to him today, Luke Van Boom.
Ah, from Bang Boom Creative.
Yep. And we've got another sponsor, right?
Charles, however you pronounce it.
Charles.
Oh, God. From Love Beer, love-beer.co.uk.
Yeah.
I've got some growlers to give you for Charles, actually. And if you want to know what a growler is, go to love-beer.co.uk and you will need them to buy your wonderful drinks. And if you put in this code LBHCLP, excuse me, it's Monday morning, you will get 15% off your order.
What was that again?
Don't make me do it again. LBHCLP.
Perfect. And I guess there would be no hardcore listing if it wasn't for today's guest. Welcome, Scroobius Pippikins.
Hello, hello. How's it going, guys? Congrats on a million.
Thank you, mate. Thank you. You couldn't have done it without you. Thank you genuinely for all your support and faith in us.
No problem at all. And I do want to highlight, despite all the mocking that we do, the podcast that sent you over the million was incredibly powerful and heart-wrenching on racism and incidents of racism. So, again, it's kind of nice that that's the one that tipped you over the mark. Rather than this, for example, which will be us talking absolute nonsense and being bellends. So I was kind of pleased that that was the one that tipped you over, and it's a testament to the network and to you guys. So good work, gents.
Thank you.
Let's just pat each other on the back for an hour, see if people will still listen after that.
I mean, we did that on the Distraction Pieces hardcore listing special. That's the nicest that we've... Definitely the nicest that we've ever been to each other on a Distraction Pieces.
Definitely.
Because generally we're drunk and being horrible on that. So, yeah.
Well, you can switch that all up now, though. Let's change the tone of this podcast now. So, because we hit a million, we decided to do a top five things you'd spend £1 million on. And we thought, well, let's all do it together. You're our first guest. You might as well come on. Might as well come on and do this one with us.
Might as well. Yeah, might as well.
I really had to persuade Stewie. You weren't that fussed, was you?
Nah.
We should definitely get him back. And he was like, I see enough.
Get someone good.
That's my reaction every time Stu tries to arrange a pod Bible Zoom meeting. There's always regular suggestions of Zoom meetings in the group message, and I'm always like, do we need one? Can we not just send a text?
You know that's a massive thing for me. You know that, like, you will happily just WhatsApp away, and I'm like, and then I'll phone you and you won't answer, and then you're just messing about what? And I just think, oh, you cunt. I just want to talk.
He's just sat. You know exactly where he sat, and he literally could answer. He could pick that phone up, but he's just
genuinely. I'm sure I've said this before, but it annoys my dad as well that I just don't have a ringtone on. So unless I'm looking at my phone, I don't answer it. As soon as I see it, I'll ring you back or send a text. But I just genuinely, I miss calls constantly.
There's been a few
Fats
where
and Smalls do a good ringtone now.
They do.
Actually.
They do. There's been a few times when go on, Chris. Now's a good time.
Hey, what's wrong with you? Who said that to us? Luke, one of our producers, got off the phone to me the other day. Got in his car, and that tune played straight away. Hey, coincidence?
I was literally talking to his manager, that Ben. Dude from Fats and Smalls, and I just thought, if we can get him on, that would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
It'd be epic. It'd be absolutely
epic. Amazing.
I'd actually love to hear that story, to be honest with you. Plus him sing.
Well, Pip, it's your five, so you can kick things off, because me and Chris are going to chime in with a couple, but this is your five. So,
okie doke. So it's top five things I'd do with £1 million.
I
just got a million.
You got yourself a million and you can do whatever you want with it, mate. And if all yours are in relation to top five charities you'd give the money to, I'm just going to press end recording. It's
well,
gonna be
the quickest
podcast.
Four of mine are pretty pointless and similar, all along the same theme. But I'm going to start with the first one that's a serious one.
Okay.
I'd start a production company.
Ah.
Because I bloody love doing all the acting I'm doing and working with all these people I'm doing, but some of the most fun and rewarding stuff I've done was making all the music videos and that with Tom and Aaron and you, Chris, and all our mates just getting to be creative. And despite not having years of experience or all these contacts in the industry, just making stuff that genuinely... It's won awards and shit. So I love getting to work with these big companies and professionals or whatever else, but the idea of having the budget for me and my mates to just make a load of weird, weird shit would be an absolute dream. So yeah, that comes. I mean, these aren't in order, but that was the first one that I was like, that's a real one, a genuine imagine.
That'd be very cool. Yeah, is it porn production or is it actually just
film, TV, all sorts of stuff? Porn can come into it. I don't think it should be. Defined separately.
Completely. We'll go from like a period drama to we'll just use that set for it. We'll do our own porn parody of a period drama.
Yeah,
we'll cover both ends of the market.
Exactly,
mate.
But like I've got tons of ideas of stuff I want to do. Chris, you've got numerous scripts and ideas.
Yeah,
I think are great. Our mate Aaron, you've helped him on working up a short he's been working on.
Yeah.
And he's had to spend ages trying to get together a budget to make it even realistic. I'd love to be able to look at projects like that and go, let's do it.
Yeah.
Let's do it in a month.
Yeah,
let's get all the kit we need, all the production we need, and make these things happen. I know after the year that Stephen Graham had recently, where he worked with Pacino, De Niro, Tom Hanks, all these amazing people... After that, which I would imagine, he's not told me, but I'd imagine it all paid well. One of the first things that him and his missus did was start up a production company. So he can continue to do all these dream jobs, but also they can make stuff that maybe wouldn't get a chance to be made and all that kind of thing. And yeah, that was, as soon as I heard that, I was like, of course you have. Why would you do anything else with earnings? So yeah.
It's difficult to sometimes people have faith in an idea which you can actually visualise it, or they don't think there's not a big enough margin or bottom line for it to, you know, to find its way on certain desks. So yeah, that's a great
completely
idea.
And again, the whole thing, you get it in the music industry a lot now as well, of that you can put your own music out and you don't need a label and you don't need a budget. That's all well and good, but some things do need a budget. And it's the same with film, because a few really good films have been made on iPhones now, and again, like we did it with music videos, made some of them for £100, but that doesn't work on every project. There is a lot of stuff that can be made like that, but there's a lot of stuff that needs to be made properly or in a more high end manner. So
anything we had in, it would cost a fortune because we've got CGI's face up. Haven't we? He looks well fucking miserable today. Look, you wouldn't think that for a hit in a million. Absolutely.
I love the little smirk he gives every time you point out how miserable he looks, because it's not genuine.
It's just his face,
yeah. So it always prompts a little schoolgirl smirk, as you mentioned.
Oh, dear.
He's smiling on the inside, though, aren't you, mate?
Yeah.
Smiling on the inside.
Think about his insides this far into lockdown.
Do you know what? My only one, I'll throw one in quickly, right?
Go on.
The only one of mine that was serious was, do you remember when I explained that like a half-baked idea to you once, Pip, which was I would spend £1 million, I'd buy a block of flats.
Yes, I do remember this well.
I'd buy a block of flats and then I would rent it out to people, but the rent would be hot, like, because I don't need to earn the interest and it's not an investment for me. The plan is you rent it out to people and then you only charge them enough to upkeep the flats and all that sort of stuff, and you want to earn about the half rent that normal renters would send, landlords would ask for. And eventually that money that you earn, you'd then buy another block of flats and another block. But because you're only charging people half rent, they can actually then afford to save up quicker to buy their own property. And that... Go on, Stu. You're a little confused.
How are you going to buy the next one if you're not making any profit?
No, I'll charge like half rent, so I'll make some money.
Right.
But I won't like charge full price. So it'll take me a little while longer. But the plan there is I'd like to be able to give back the land. Like, there's so many landlords at the moment. And the landlords just buy up properties and then just charge full rent. And then people can't get their foot on the property ladder.
Yeah.
And banks make an absolute killing with it through... renting properties out and giving out mortgages. So I think if I did that, it would reduce the mortgage market and people could actually buy their properties outright a lot quicker, and it'd just share the money in the country through land a bit quicker.
I like
so
that.
That's it. Yeah, it's my only sensible
Would you
idea.
Have made that million through, because you invented, you were telling me the other day, you invented the Sky Planner.
I don't know if Pip, if you're aware of this, but I invented Sky Plus.
Oh really?
Yeah, but I did. But it was back when I invented it. I thought, oh, I'm going to tell Richard Branson about this one. But obviously, then got distracted, probably with reading something on the internet about Warhammer, and didn't quite get a chance to send that email off. But yeah, I invented that and Facebook and MySpace.
Oh, amazing!
Yeah. So
have I ever told you my
busy week?
Great invention.
What?
A battery powered plug sockets.
Oh, right.
So you can just take them on the road. Everything you've got can just be plugged in and used on the road. Yeah. I don't know why I've never been invited on Dragon's Den or what, but
so no, they don't. They're not listening out for ideas. You have to go.
I thought they hit you up. I thought they'd reach out. Surely they will have heard of me and thought, I bet he's got some ideas.
Surely they would have heard of me.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish you just left it at that.
Great.
Surely
great.
They will have. Go on, he knows that Chris guy who's going to reinvent the housing market.
You know Chris who invented Facebook?
Yeah.
I thought that was Mark Zuckerberg. No. Chris Glasson. Oh, he did MS-DOS, didn't he? That's right, but he let Bill Gates have it for free.
Mr. Gels, who's a previous guest on Hardcore Listing.
Stu invented the wheel. Go on, continue, mate.
That was his mate Terry.
It was. Mr. Gels, who's previous guest on here, come up with a brilliant website. And imagine you're at your local, you go to a new town. So let's, for instance, I don't know, say you go to, let's say Clacton, right? You go to Clacton and it's like lunchtime, or I might get some chips. Oh, there's five chippies.
You're going to be confused.
Dangerous game. So basically, you go round and you rate every chip shop.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you don't necessarily do it, but obviously the people that eat there do. Wait for it. Chip Advisor.
Nice.
I had to, for a bit there...
let it sink in.
Marry that to a thing, but yeah, it's very good.
Yeah, very much started with the name, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's never really gone beyond the name. It's a good name, though.
It's a very good name.
He's going to be kicking himself when someone hears this.
Yeah, yeah.
One of Duncan Ballantyne listens to this, and he's going to be like, I can smash that one out.
Oh, the way you said that so quickly, I really thought you might have got that name wrong then, Chris, but you didn't. No. I was really excited that it was going to be a different Duncan.
Oh, I said what I'd do with a million. I was going to tell you why I nearly got someone's name confused the other day in this. Let's hear a few more pips, and then I'll tell you what else I'll spend a couple of a meal on.
And my next up is straightforward, just reveling in having fuck you money. It's something that's talked about a lot, and Rogan talks about it a lot, but it wasn't him that invented it. Fuck you money is talked about a lot because it is that thing that you can just say no to whatever you want. And I'm a bit of a workaholic, and obviously I've got a company with Stu, I've got stuff on my own, and it's always that need to be doing stuff. And it's partly being self-employed and not having that safety net of jobs that have a regular wage and things like that. So there's that constant need to agree to as much work stuff as possible, but just having fuck you money is obviously being able to just say fuck you to anything that anyone offers. It could be the best thing. Would you come and play this one-off gig? We'll pay you $100,000. In the real world, I wouldn't be able to say no to that. If I had a million, fuck you, I'm staying in. It's New Year's Eve.
I like the fact that you think you wouldn't say fuck you to that.
Yeah.
You are the most antisocial person. I think you might. Yeah. I think like you actually are very good at saying no.
I joked then because me and Dan almost fell out one year. Because my New Year's Eve is the one night I like to just stay in. And we got offered a big chunk of money for a New Year's Eve gig once. Yeah. And I just said, no, I'll do it the night before.
Brilliant.
I'll do it the night after. But no, and that was a tough time for Dan to have to deal with being in a double act with me because it was good money. And I was like, no, it's not about the money. I'm genuinely not about money. But still, even though you're right, I am quite good at going, look, I just don't want to do that. It's still, I'll do a lot of things that I want to do, but maybe aren't my absolute dream to do, if that makes sense.
I think that comes from being self-employed. I think if you work for yourself, then, you know, when you've started working for yourself, like we touched on distraction pieces, them early gigs and things like that, you know, you're literally just about making enough money for petrol to get to the next gig. So you learn how to hustle a little bit, and you learn how to kind of, you know, put a value on what you do. And then I think even as like your business develops, and obviously, you know, you go on and you become as successful at what you do, you still will always have that mindset when someone offers you something for your business, you think your instant thing is to go, oh yeah, we can do that, and it's like, and it, because that's just that self-employed attitude that you don't necessarily know where the next paycheck's coming from, so it's so easy to say yes, but then, you know, it is important sometimes to say no, because
and I was going to say, particularly anything in the arts, like you could get paid really well for one gig, but if that's your year's wage, it suddenly isn't such an outrageous amount of money and an outrageous earning, and it can be in the arts, in music, in acting, in any of these things. It's, I remember I talked to Doc Brown about this because he lived in I think when I interviewed him, he lived in South London. It was nice enough, but it wasn't like a mansion or anything. And he'd say he'd be at the bus stop and people would be like, oh, what are you doing around here? Because he was on TV shows with Ricky Gervais and in the Office movie or in the David Brent movie. And he's like, yeah, that probably paid all right. But it was one movie that I worked on for a couple of months. That doesn't mean it's I'm suddenly buying mansions and I've got years and years of earnings. So, it's a weird one. So, yeah, just simply, I mean, the reality, the boring side of that is that's me essentially saying I'd pop it in the bank and I'd live off it. But I've turned it into a cool one by calling it having fuck you money.
I mean, fundamentally, it's not fuck you money, is it? It's, I'll really appreciate that, but right at the moment, I'll have to pass on it money. Would you like that 100 grand roll? Fuck you! Right? It'll never work again.
Would you dress any different?
Probably
would you dress
not.
Like you got fuck you money?
Probably. Or maybe.
I'd love to dress like
you would, Glasson. You so would.
only to annoy people. Only to annoy people like you used to.
Yeah.
I'd do it to make you feel uncomfortable, and then at home I'd wear tie-dye Wu-Tang.
You seen Chris? Chris? What Chris? Chris, Top Hat Chris. Oh, yeah.
Top Hat Chris, the one Top Hat with an L in the Top Hat.
It's that thing, isn't it? People who get a bit of money dress like they've got fuck you money, but people who are actually wealthy tend to dress really normal and boring because of that. It's not that excitement moment anymore. No. Like you mentioned Zuckerberg. You're not going to see him in anything particularly exciting. And Rogan's another example of that. Again, love or hate him, and I'm on both sides of that fence these days. Yeah. He dresses like he's, you know, a single dad
still wearing
on welfare.
Exactly. Same with Conor McGregor.
Yeah.
That's the problem. I couldn't dress like I got a fuck you money because, like, people would be expecting me to punch people in bars.
Yeah.
It's completely gone now, what I was going to say.
Oh, dear.
Million downloads.
Million listens. Million.
There's only one other time I remember completely going mind numb, and that is when we did about four podcasts in a row at the Hoxton Square Bar and Grill. And I went to ask a question.
Day.
I went to ask a question, and I went, I'm sorry, it's just not there. I think it's for We Are Scientists. I was just like, nah.
I can't remember who we... Did we record with Doc Brown that day as well? Bizarrely.
No, that was at the Queen of Hoxton, Doc Brown.
And then I do remember that we had to wait for We Are Scientists to finish a gig and then come over. And so we was there till like... I don't think we got out of there till like 11 at night. And we'd been recording from like lunchtime, I think. But I know at one point I laid down on the stage and I was about to have a little sleep. That was a long day, man.
It was a long old day, mate. Long old day.
Is one of your things, if you had a million, Stu, you'd have a little sleep? You'd have more little sleeps.
40 winks. Can I buy some naps, please?
Have you got any to throw in?
I'd buy an office, right? I'd buy an office that had... it's ridiculous, right? I buy an office that basically had some really nice computers in it for design work, a recording studio, and also for lunch breaks, it'd have like a ring in it and like some gym stuff. So I can go nice. And kind of record all my stuff and ideally like create a little radio station there and try yep. and emulate. It's really weird. I've been listening, when I drove to Norfolk at the weekend, I listened to some of the first ever Gervais and Merchant and Cole podcasts, the edits of yeah. the radio show. And like hearing them just saying, yeah, that was a new single from Hamas Superstar. And like, it's, and yeah. you just think, holy shit, that's 2001. Like, yeah. So yeah, but just listening to that made me remember how good XFM was then.
Yeah.
And like, and I just thought, oh, I'd love to create something like that.
I wish we had an office together. That would be, if we had a little headquarters, like, that would be so much fun. Just think how much fun that would be.
I'd every also, addendum to that, I'd also have security on mine as well. So, so Klassen turning up in his top hat would get turned
listen,
away.
I'd let you spend all this time designing this, and then with my million, when you go home one night, I'd pay £1 million for it. When you come back the next day, it's been gutted out, and it's been redecorated as Pat Sharp's funhouse.
I thought you were going to say some sort of like Warhammer setup.
Stu would put forward the full plans. Chris would look at it and go, yeah, it looks good. I'm just going to add a bed. Be like, what do you want a bed for? No, just add a bed, because you know that Chris would just be rolling in there at 3 a.m. on nights rather than ever being in there in the office hours. Yeah. Just somewhere to crash.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant. All right, Pip, what you got?
What's your number three?
So my number three is I'd buy a small island.
Oh, sick. Sick, sick, sick. Okay, go on then. What are you doing on it?
Which you kind of think, oh, that's mad. But I looked into it, and small islands start at around 100 grand.
How big's that, though? We're talking crazy. Like you could barely get a sandcastle on there.
It's going to be small.
I like the fact the first thing you're going to do on your island is build a sandcastle.
Yeah. Is there room for sandcastles?
Otherwise, I'm out. I don't want it, mate.
If it's only got a pebble beach, I do not want to know. Don't even show them to me.
No, but that's it. You don't need a huge one. If you spend, say, if they start at 100 grand, even if you spend 300-400 grand on the island and then spend the rest on building some just cool shit there, you know, it's better than Stu's fucking office that's got a gym in it so he can have photo shoots on his lunch break.
I'll tell you what, mate.
When he's doing, like, having photo shoots, doing, like, the only good kick he's going to do all day.
Doing his big photo shoot of his Superman punch.
What will make that look better is if we put
photographer is my next one.
But, yeah, obviously, as we record this,
yeah.
we're about to have the first week of Fight Island. Yeah. So there's UFC fights on Saturday, Wednesday and the Saturday after, all on Fight Island. And it's not a real island. It's a fucking peninsula in Dubai or some shit. But when the idea came up, the thought of this little island where you can just fly into and it's all yours.
Enter
you
the dragon.
Do what you want.
It's Enter the Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazingly exciting. So yeah, the thought of that and the thought of having, just getting up in the morning and having your own beach there and literally your own jungle to go and explore, all that kind of thing just seems...
Sorry, just to clarify, your island's not off the coast of Scotland or anything then?
I mean, I'd be up for that
more
as well.
Like Costa Rica.
That would be quite interesting. Like, you know, have you seen that hotel? I think it's off the south of the UK, that there's a hotel that was previously an oil rig type thing and they've turned it into this just amazing six-star hotel and you have to go there by boat. And just stuff like that, just being in the middle of the sea is, yeah, I think that'd be so peaceful. Me and both of you guys have discussed before that being near water is amazingly calming and relaxing. But sadly, a lot of seaside towns in the UK are incredibly ropey and there's a lot of drug habits and alcoholism and because it comes from the days of it being port towns, import, export, smuggling, all that kind of thing. So, yeah, the idea of just being surrounded by water and having that serenity is, it's pretty amazing.
Can we come and stay?
Yeah, again, the problem with that choice is I'd imagine there's just continued expense, right? Because if you've got to fly in and out or get a boat in and out, or if anyone wants to come and hang out, it's a boat in and out. That's going to be a lot of money on the rent. Although I guess if you buy the boat and you can just do it yourself.
I'll get over there. Don't worry about that, mate. I'll be there before you.
You just give me the sat-nav details and I'll be there.
One of my choices was I've always wanted to live under a waterfall.
Behind.
Under would be a fucking nightmare.
Be noisy.
I just want a thing behind a waterfall, and then I realise I just want to become a supervillain.
You know in gardens when they have a little waterfall and they have a little gnome underneath it?
Oh, wicked. That's me. Exactly.
You're just there with your plonker out, just doing a little fountain of wee.
That's my little patron saint.
Yeah, but completely, exactly that. Imagine you've got a little lake and a waterfall and all that kind of thing there.
I mean, I live behind it.
Amazing, yeah.
I'd dig it out and I'd want a throne room and I'd want a moat and a bridge. So that people can't walk, have to walk over that. But if they're annoying me, I hit a button and the bridge gives way and you fall into the moat.
Nice cover up, yeah. Anacondas, that fucking drawbridge is to keep people in, not out. No one's going to want to come in, mate. Every cunt's going to want to get out.
Yeah, so similar. Stu? Would you buy a remote island yourself?
Just to go back to my last one, I've just seen another note next to it. Basically, all my stuff in my office, I'll have a little stage in it. The whole thing is to set up to basically put together a series like TFI Friday. So I want to have this kind of thing where in every kind of corner there's something going on where I could just think, oh, I could film that and then could do that and I could do that and maybe make some kind of sort of TV.
I think you'd make a good TFI Friday host, mate, to be honest with you.
Bit old. Yeah. But
What's that matter?
But
it just comes with experience, doesn't it?
And if I did throw another one in, the other one I throw in was one which I think we all discussed when we went on White Wine Question Time, Kate Fulton's podcast. I'd buy a camper van.
Yep.
A really fucking big one.
I was going to say you probably have some money left over. I'm not sure. I've not checked. I've not checked recent rates, but
You give me the cheque and I'll go and get it. Yeah.
Do you know what? You may laugh, right? So I've been looking at them this week, funnily enough. And even to get like a shitty one that's like literally 20 years old is going to cost you at least 7-8 grand, right?
Yeah, they're
so
really
when
expensive.
You start wanting to get into Winnebago territory, it's like mega money, mate. Mega money.
Yeah. Still a good bit of change from a million, I guarantee.
Well, I've got to pay like Chris to drive it.
Petrol.
Driving.
Petrol.
Yeah.
My insurance would be huge.
Yeah.
Known drink driver. yes. I'm not, anyway, listeners. That'd be crazy. Right, okay. No, is it already your number two?
Yes.
Pippy. Yeah, I've got two left. And before I go to one, this... I've not thought of this. I've gone to say this twice now, and it's not because it's been stew picking. But would either of you ever have any plastic surgery?
Yeah.
Not really. I would probably have my moles removed.
Yeah.
And it's not like
I said. I just like.
Would you have my no moles removed?
Yeah.
Too,
I'd pay for both of you to have plastic. No, that's not my. That's not my number. But. A Brian Callan on the Fighter and a Kid like recently had his lids done because he's in his 50s and his lids, and it's like it's weird stuff like that that you guys have talked before about the negatives of body image stuff on social media and all things like that. But also I think if people are grown up and making their own choices, I'm completely pro anything if they can afford it and have it done safely. And yeah, there's nothing I've ever thought of having done, but again, I'm sure
I've thought of.
Yeah, I'm sure things. You have. There's. I've thought like when I'm a bit older, I might be like, oh, if I'm feeling a bit saggy or a bit or whatever else. And yeah, I just wondered that as we were all talking.
It's your body, and I don't think I think you just have to be in it for the right reasons. And I think like, but that is a very slippery slope, and that's the danger.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found.
LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
As part of it. So, no, yeah. I don't think we should be in a society where we tell people if they should not do something, but it is a slippery slope. For example, my moles, I guess, is a good example of this, right? I'm not particularly self-aware of my moles. You know, it's not like something that's given me that much body confidence issues. My girlfriend and any other partner is probably upset about the fact that I have no shame. So they don't really. But at the same time, yeah, they're not as nice as not having moles, you know, no. I don't think, when you've got quite as many. I've probably got about 300 moles, genuinely. And also, more importantly, is they do represent a cancer risk to me.
Yeah.
So it's that would be something that I would do. But I'm not just saying it's only for health. I would certainly say there's an aesthetic aspect to that.
I think there's as much risk at times from the kind of the pushing on social media that everyone has to have surgery and all this kind of shit, lip fillers, everything else. But I think there's as much risk in saying that everyone has to be proud of everything and body positivity and all that, because it's not easy sometimes. If you can solve something, then you've got a right to. You shouldn't be chastised or looked down upon because you're like, all right, I kind of want to get rid of, like if you said, I want to get rid of my moles, it wouldn't be shallow. It'd be like, well, you know, it's up to you. It's individuals who have to live with that. But yeah,
it's down to the individual. And I think that I've seen this with breast enlargements, stews, and I've got a few friends who have done it, and one of my friends who did it is the prettiest girl ever. Historically, was always the prettiest girl ever, but she had mass self-confidence issues, and that never assisted and helped in any way, shape or form. And yet I've got other friends who did it and really happy, absolutely solved their issues.
I was going to say the same. I've known people who've done it and been never happier. I've known people who've done it and then saved up to have them removed down the line because it's not been right. But that's why it came up with the $1 million.
Yeah.
Because the negative side of all this is when it's being done cheap and being done unsafe and all that kind of thing. Whereas if you had a million and you could just go, all right, let's get this really classily done, have this done or that done, then yeah.
Yeah, is this because you're an actor more? Are you? Is this the foreshadowing,
mate,
to the fact we won't? You'll look like a cat in,
mate,
5 years.
Do you know how many times in this lockdown I've had to sit staring at Stu's face on a Zoom screen?
Okay, fair.
Of course plastic surgery is going to have come to mind. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, my number two, and again, I've been boringly realistic on this. I originally I'd get a castle, because castle would be amazing. But I looked into them. Most of them cost a lot more than a million.
Well, it's upkeep as well, mate.
Yeah. So the same as your kind of a base under a waterfall, all this kind of thing, you're going to end up spending more than a million on that. So what I've switched
just
it to...
Just feeding the anacondas alone will cost me a fortune.
Exactly. Is before I bought the house I'm in now, I looked at and seriously considered old churches. In Wales and Scotland, there's so many old churches that are almost offensively cheap, like under 100 grand. There's some over as well and things like that. But the problem is most old churches ghosts. Don't have much power and ghosts. That's a bonus. But most don't have much power to charge all your ghost-busting machines and plumbing and stuff like that. Because most churches only have a back room that's got any of that. Because the main room is heated by people and candles and so on and so forth and faith, So I'd pick one of those churches and then have it spend the money just having it fully done up. Oh, because again, in these modern times with all sorts of work, you need the internet, you need, or just modern comforts. I'd want to have Netflix and shit like that. I'd get bored in a church.
Would you build a Domino's takeaway within range?
Yeah, I'd definitely spend the spare money opening up a couple of franchises of a Papa John's, a Domino's and a Pizza Hut the corner.
Have you seen that TV show? Unlikely, but Molly's quite into it. And I do quite like it, actually, because I can't help but fantasise about doing this very thing. It's the Chateau, the guys who bought the castle in France and then they rent it out
They've done a few different series, haven't they, of doing up different chateaus and
it
that.
It didn't cost them a lot to buy this bloody castle. It was something like £260,000.
Yeah.
It's insane. And they had to spend a lot in doing it up, but now it's just earning its money back. But this castle, it's just the dream. When you look at it, you're like, oh, my God.
Oh, that was it. Like, when I was looking at these churches, I was like, I wish I was more of a... Like, I knew more about electrics and plumbing and woodwork and stuff like that. Because when they do these... chateaus, it's normally people who can do a lot of it themselves as well, who can put in a lot of the graft to just build it all and make it all look amazing. And I just haven't got the knowledge of that. I'd get this church, I'd spend a year on it, and you'd come around and go, what have you done to this church? Why have you
just
ruined
a sofa and 300,000 Domino's boxes?
But I'd go for that, because again, like there was one in particular I looked at in Wales, and it was about 90 minutes. Like, the nearest train station was about 90 minutes into London. Because I was genuinely, it was while I was doing music and that still, I was thinking, could this be realistic? And it was just in the middle of its own little plot. So all around it was just fields, and a section of that you owned. I assume there's probably some dead bodies in that section, because... Why would a church have a big area marked off? I reckon it must have been a graveyard. But
would you pay extra for that?
Yeah, I reckon. As long as I could get the details on each person that was buried.
Do many people visit this graveyard these days? No, perfect.
Is it a quiet one? But yeah, it was just. And again, I've since looked at places in Scotland and stuff like that. That the beauty of being surrounded by fields and fields and the hills and having that privacy. And even as similar, when I was seriously looking at them recently and couldn't afford it, it was thinking along the lines of what Stu was saying, of having a studio in there and having it all rigged up so you could just go there and spend the weekend recording podcasts and doing whatever you want, but just being in the wilderness. So yeah, that appeals massively. Yeah, it's kind of the slight tear down from buying an island is buying that privacy, I guess.
Yeah. I almost see it as like the idea of living in a castle is just too cool.
Yeah.
Absolutely too cool. You got any more to throw in, Stu, before we get to Pippi's number one?
I haven't, no.
All right, I'll throw one in quickly. Chris. I like My Name is Earl, and I love the idea that he then wrote a list. So for people who don't know, Earl wins, it's Jason Lee, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And he basically wins the lottery. And then with his money, he's pretty financially secure. So then he decides to write a list of all the people he's wronged in his life. And then just go round and do nice things for them and apologise and stuff like that. So if I won a million, I'd like to do that. And it's a short list. I've not really wronged that many people.
I thought you were going to say I've not taken that many of their names. So.
Didn't even know half of them.
I did start thinking, where would I start on that list? And like, I don't know why this flashed up into my head, but I mean, I could always apologise for this now, really. It wouldn't take anything. But I remember one time I had an argument with my mum, and I was really young. Can I just point out I was young? I wasn't a responsible, sensible adult. I think I might have just been starting puberty, and this is what I did. We'd had an argument, and then she was at the bottom of the stairs, sat down, looking somewhere. And I was at the top of the stairs, overlooking her. And I went, and I did a little spit. I was going to try to pull it back out of frustration. But it didn't come back up into my mouth, and it dropped on the top of her head. And she looked up. And I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. But, yeah, I don't know if I even did say sorry then. I think I might have even acted like I didn't do anything. I can't remember. But I just remembered that and thought, oh, that's bad.
That's fucking bad.
It's naughty, isn't it?
If only you had the money to apologise for that.
That's what I love about that as well.
Do you know what apology?
That's exactly what I thought. I thought, I could just go down and say sorry to mum now about that. And I was like, nah, I won't have time to right that wrong until I reckon
I should sit down with your mum and go, look, I've got this. And then she'll pay me whatever you give your mum, she'll give me half of it. And then the next time you're walking out of book club, I'm just going to run up behind you and soccer kick you right in your fucking leg.
God!
Yeah, it's Stu on your list.
I haven't got time to apologise. But once I've got money... I've no time to explain now, Stu. But I was in an impossible situation. But once I'm rich, I'll be able to be a nice person.
Yeah.
But I also thought, although the last person I'd apologise to is a family, because I think... with some of that money, I would buy it. I thought I'd get hire an assassin, but I thought, no. I'll just get a high-powered rifle, and then I'll just shoot Katie Hopkins.
Great.
Basically. And
I was going to ask about that, money. Because you mentioned her on the distraction pieces and said there's more to come. But
I mean, it was really weird, because when I was thinking about that, and I don't obviously mean that, and I'm not trying to actually incite violence. This is all said in jest and tongue-in-cheek. And I'm sure she can take that, given the sort of insults and shit she throws out there.
Yeah.
But she is quite cancerous, really, as a person. I went and looked at a bunch of stuff on YouTube, just at the things she said, and they are awful and trollish. Mm. And that, like, the fact that she can slag off just even simple things. These aren't even the major issues she's gone for, but taking the mickey out of kids who've been named after geographical locations. And then she did that on This Morning or whatever, and Holly Willoughby says, your daughter's name India.
Yeah.
It's so obviously trollish. So I'd probably apologise to her kids and shoot her. And the reason why I was going to say me getting her names wrong is when I typed that up as a note, I wrote Katie Piper.
That would be outrageous. Get £1 million and I'd shoot Katie. I'd shoot amazing, powerful charity pioneer Katie Piper.
At least
bloody goody two shoes.
At least I realised it. At least I realised it before throwing it out there.
Turning your fucking life around and doing nice things. You're going down.
Yeah, I've not even had that much bad stuff happen to me, so you're making me look terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, a good shout would be taking your million and giving it to Katie Hopkins to fuck off.
To your island.
I'm sure she'd fuck off for £1 million. I'm sure if you said, here's £1 million, now just fuck off.
That's good.
I walked past her in the street a few months back before all this came out, and it really spun me out, because exactly as you said, Chris, obviously I wouldn't do anything. You kind of joke about it, but... I did just kind of think, I feel bad. It felt weird because I felt bad not doing anything. Do you know what I mean? But because of all the horrible stuff she said and the genuine damage that she's caused with some of her outrageous claims that then get echoed and echoed and echoed and can really cause the damage in society, I walked past her and just thought, fuck, what? I don't know what I wanted to do, but I felt... annoyed I didn't do anything.
The bottom line is, she will go to bed every night and shut her eyes knowing that 90% of the population that has ever heard her say anything hates her.
Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know if she knows that. I don't know if she realises that or believes that. It's fascinating because, as
I
said...
I believe that too. I'm not too sure where the line is in her mind. I think she believes a lot of the things she says.
I had Ashley Dottie Charles on the podcast recently, who wrote a book about public outrage, and she spoke to Katie Hopkins on it, and she was kind of left just unsure because she spoke to her and she was perfectly reasonable, but she still did seem to believe all of the stuff that she said. It didn't feel like she was putting on an act or a character. It felt that she backed herself,
which
is even more dark and even more kind of uncomfortable because you assume so much of it is just you're putting on a character and deep down you know you're being a dickhead. But she seemed to be like, no, you know, I'm a nice person, but here's my beliefs. It's like, oh, fuck.
You're gross. Do you want to read the comment I left on? So I watched the thing, it's 10 worst moments. And then someone had left a comment that said, in a time of universal deceit, telling the truth becomes a revolutionary act. And then George Orwell. Yeah. And then someone beautifully just destroyed that person with a response. And this another person said, oh, so you can't handle the truth. I'm trying to load it up now because I want to read the comments. Oh, come on. Please come up. This is good podcasting as well, isn't it, hey?
Million downloads,
folks. Oh, it's not going to come up. And I basically went back and said it isn't the truth. It's a bunch of value judgments. And what's scary is if a comedian said that, I might laugh. But the fact is she says that shit. And then people like you start saying things like the truth hurts. And this person came back to me and said, I'm sorry, but there's never been a more truthful, honest, hardworking, brilliant woman in this country. I challenge you to name one. And then I just left Rose West in the comment, basically.
She did work hard.
She was hardworking. So are we on to your number one now, Pip?
Yes.
Let's do it.
Well, it's kind of similar to what I said there of getting a million and giving it to Katie Hopkins and telling her to fuck off. My number one is just fucking off.
I wish you would.
Disappearing. The first thing I'd buy... I'd spend like a tenner on a razor. So I'd get rid of my beard and become anonymous. And then I'd just fuck off. I joke about this all the time, but I genuinely have thoughts of... Because even more so in recent times, social media at the very least, I just think is such a dangerous and horrible place and damaging place. So I regularly think about walking away from that. But because of all the different bits of work I do... I tell myself I couldn't do that. But yeah, the idea of just going, right, I'm done with everything.
You came off it for a week, didn't you? You came off it for a week when you done that podcast with Connie Huck, wasn't it? Yeah.
With Connie Huck. And I've done it a lot recently as well. I generally now, on Wednesdays and Thursdays, because of the new podcast, I'll do a load of posts. But outside of that, unless I need to, I'll go on very little throughout the rest of the rest of the week, and it's much better. But yeah, that idea of just going right, just disappearing into the woods somewhere. Again, it sounds horrible because that's saying walking away from you pricks, all my friends, all my family, my partner, all my loved ones, and all of that kind of thing. But there is still something beautiful about that as a fantasy of just disappearing and starting a new life that I don't know, is purely figuring out who you are and what you want to do without any outside influences. I think all of us, everyone who's a good person, has outside influences in that I want to make sure my friends are happy, I want to make sure my family are happy, my partner's happy, all these kind of things. But there is something beautiful and tempting about not having any of that and just going, right, I'm fucking off. I'll see you later.
Yeah, completely. So, I've thought that before. Like, I'd like to go to a temple, Buddhist monk temple, and go there. But
to be clear, it's probably an option now. But I love all my friends and family and loved ones and partner and all this kind of thing. So I don't want to. But still, as a thought and idea, that bang, one day you just gone, leave your phone at home.
Just let us know first. Things. Just let us know first, so we don't know your brother's guilt you or something.
I mean, I like that added air of mystery. I'd rather have that hanging over.
That's amazing.
But yeah, that'd be my number one.
Mm. Wonderful.
And it might include numerous of the other ones. It might involve a castle or an island or a church.
I'm coming to find you. I can't wait.
Again, the beauty. How much more exciting would your life be if you're having to figure out the mystery of me rather than have to deal with me? That's so bad. Much more fun. Where did he go? Let's look into it.
Brilliant.
So yeah, that's my number one.
It'll be a globe trotting hide and seek, but then the trick is when none of us come hunting for you, you'll come. You'll be back in a month, mate. You'll be back in a month on Instagram,
guys. It's me.
Oh, right. Wait, something I haven't told you. I thought about once on the toilet.
Disappear in a week into it, I'd download an episode of Hardcore Fucking Listing and I'd pop up to correct you on something.
Oh, brilliant. Pip, thanks loads for doing this today.
Yeah, man, much appreciated.
Really appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure.
And thanks for giving us the platform and the idea and the encouragement and nurturing and everything to do Hardcore Listing, because
Congrats on the million. It's madness.
Lovely.
Do you know you can buy, what can you buy 1,010,101 of with £1 million?
Don't know.
Stu?
Feathers.
99s?
99s. Cheeseburgers and 99s.
You
just a little fact for you guys.
Boring prick. Oh yeah. I just want to quickly tell you about this magazine. It's called Pod Bible. Now, Pod Bible is the new essential guide to podcasts. It's put together alongside Spotify and Acast, and it's a one-stop shop to tell you all about the podcasts you maybe know about, but definitely about a load of the podcasts that you probably don't know about that we think you should know about. I mean, in the first edition, there's interviews with Adam Buxton, interviews with Craig Parkinson, there's features on Jade Adams, and there's just an abundance of information about so many exciting podcasts that are out there. Also, Spotify have given us these amazing little codes. So if you do get a print copy, you can just turn on your Spotify on your phone, scan the little code, and it just automatically opens up the podcast on your listening device. How good's that? If you haven't managed to get a print copy, then just go over to www.podbiblemag.com and read it online, because the digital version is all over there and it's all free. So every other month there'll be a new edition out, so go and have a look and support us on the social medias as well. podbiblemag.com. It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.